in that service. It is going to be a very powerful, powerful opportunity for them to receive the baptismal gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I got the Holy Ghost at age 8 coming out of that water speaking in tongues. And I tell you what, it has been an empowerment agent that has kept me through the years. Amen. Praise God. It's time to receive our tithe and our offering. Praise God. And God has blessed this church. And I didn't send a message out, but on the last Sunday of every month, we have our global missions offering as well. We support missionaries all over the globe. And we have special projects sometimes that helps them out. And so we say a special offering, even if it's a dollar. We try to get everybody to give a dollar on the last Sunday of the month towards that. That could be close to about $80 a month just by everybody giving a dollar. Of course, more is okay. But again, it doesn't stay here. It goes towards our missionaries, including a missionary who is in Chicago, south side of Chicago, Brother Raymond Duncan, doing a work for God there. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. We believe, oh God, this is the year of us thriving, and we believe it's taking place, oh God, already. We're asking you, oh God, to bless the gift and bless the offering and the tithes that belong to you. And we, oh God, ask that as you bless the gift and the giver, it would be multiplied in the kingdom of God. That can allow us, oh God, to affect our community. It can allow us, oh God, to preach the gospel, God, to those that have not heard it yet. It will allow us, oh God, to be the vessels that we've been called to be. And we know, God, that you're working through it as we sacrifice, oh God, in this manner. We pray your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give unto the Lord. Praise God. As we're wrapping up the offering, we're going to dismiss both our little lights and our Sunday school kids downstairs. Praise God. Our team leaders are heading down there now. If you have kids here for Sunday school, they can head downstairs at this time. Appreciate our volunteers. Praise God. Praise God. That's it, kids. God bless you all. Head down there. The rest of us, why don't we stand on our feet and turn in our scripture? We're going to be in John chapter 9. If I can get the system open here. Can you help me out with this thing? John chapter 9. And we're going to begin at verse number 1. Have we been hearing the wonderful word of God lately? Yes. Praise God. When we were gone and Brother Haddock preached, that was actually part 1 of the cost of disobedience is greater than the cost of sacrifice. If you didn't hear these 3 messages, myself, Brother Haddock, go online at lighthouse or lhupc.org, sermon audio. I promise you it would bless you. The Lord's given me a word for today. I know it's going to speak to each and every one of us. John chapter 9, and we are going to read a few verses here. John 9 and verse 1-11. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, because they saw him as well, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? Somebody had to sin that he was born blind. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat. It's nasty. On the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. I'm going to say sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. I want to preach to you this morning on a subject entitled, a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we again want revelation. Jesus, there is perceptions that are wrong. There are points of views that are wrong that allows us, oh God, to be down on ourselves. But I believe in today that you are going to give us the right perception and see things how you see them. You're going to give us an understanding, oh God, of how you view us and what we are going through. And again, I believe, oh God, it is going to empower somebody to walk with their head up, to walk, I pray, oh God, with the joy of the Lord on the inside of them. So, God, we want you to speak. We want you to reveal yourself. And we want your will to be done. And let us know, God, the power of who you are. And when we get a revelation of who you are, God, there are going to be some natural things that we are going to do as a perfect response of the love, the mercy, and the grace of Almighty God. Let the grace of God be presented here. Let us know you in a clearer manner. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Now, why don't you clap your hands unto him and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We love you, Jesus. We magnify your name. We praise you, God. Hallelujah for what we're going to receive. Hallelujah for speaking into our lives and being such a personal God. Thank you, sound team. You can turn my actual microphone, number one, monitor down just a tad. Turn my monitor down just a tad. Praise God. We're going to look at this chapter 9 and talk about it here. Jesus took notice of the blind man, and so did his disciples. But it is very interesting that looking at the same situation, they had very different perceptions on why the blind man was blind. And this is a wonderful setting of scripture to evaluate because it helps us see that we see or what we see may not be the same thing that God sees. Every one of us see things that we are dealing with, what we are going through, what is unfolding in our lives, just like the disciples saw that this man was blind. But they thought he was blind because of either his own sin or his parents' sin. And that was their perception. That was their reality. That was their point of view. And we all have our own perceptions, our own realities, and our own points of view. But that's why I like the breakdown of this scripture, because when we see that we have our own natural way of looking at things, there is still a higher way that God sees. There is still a way that God can say, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I mean, we're seeing the same thing, but since I'm God, I can see above what you see. So let me say this right at the onslaught. What you might see right now might not be as it appears. God sees something that he still can work, even though you can't see it. God is above
love you and I. And God says, I have a plan in the middle of what you are going through. I don't know about anybody else, but that gives me joy. I hope I have some wrong perceptions about what I'm dealing with, because that lets me know God can make a way when I don't see that there is a way. God says, I'm not limited to your thinking. I can see the same thing, but still see a way out. If you don't see a way out of your problem, let me tell you, God has a way out of your problem. We might see things at first in a negative light, but God sees it as an opportunity to work on our behalf. Jesus' view on this was that this was all about timing. His situation was known by a God who already had a plan for this man's lifelong issue. Is there anybody here that has lifelong issues? Things you've been dealing with from a child. Thoughts that you've been dealing with from a child. Circumstances mentally you've been dealing with from a child. And here this man was born with blindness, a lifelong issue. But God had already had a plan for this person's lifelong issue. I'm so glad I serve a God who is not ignorant towards my lifelong issues, but that he has already formulated a plan to get me out of where I'm thinking I've been in too long. There is nothing right now in your life that you have been or now battling with that God does not have the answer and the solution for. You are not serving some weak, lame God. You are serving a God that saw the solution before you ever were born. Before the man was even born, God had a plan that he was working on. And I want to tell someone that God has a plan for exactly where you are right now. Don't allow the devil to lie to you and say your best days are so far behind you that you have nothing to hope for or look forward to because of what you are dealing with. God says, I got you exactly where I want you. I'm so glad I'm right in the wheel and the plan of God. I don't care how dim it looks. I'm in the favor of God right now. I don't care how my health is. I don't care how my bank account looks. I don't care what's going on in my family's life. I'm right where God can move. Right now, you are exactly where God can move. You are right now at the right time and the right place for God to show himself on your behalf. Get your head up and know that God is right beside you. Get your head up and know he would never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, right now in your pain. Yes, right now in your struggle. Yes, right now in your frustration. Yes, right now God is working it out. If you believe it, say yes. Here, Jesus was dealing with something, blindness in particular, that kept him limited from birth. And Jesus says, yeah, that was me. Yes, I'm the one that kept him limited all this time. I am the one that kept him in a humbling position. Yeah, that was me that allowed him to go through those struggles. Yes, that was me that didn't block that situation from being the way it unfolded. Yes, that was me that allowed you to go through what you thought you should have never had to go through. Yes, that was me. That's why Job is such an interesting and revelatory story, because Job had no idea that it was God's idea to put him through all those tests and all of those trials. God has his own motives. God has his own reasoning. And a principle we have to learn if we're going to see God manifest himself. So the first question is, do you want God to manifest himself? Yes. then we have to be convinced that he is a sovereign God. That means he answers to no one. But can I share some positive things about this? That there are some good insights that we can find when we find ourselves caught in the sovereignty of Almighty God. Number one, that shows that God has confidence in us. That might not mean much to some of you, but this needs to be addressed. So many people lack confidence. So many people feel like they are utter failures. So many people feel like they have nothing to be proud of. They can only see the negative side of their situations or the stress that comes along with their situation. But maybe, just maybe, you're going through what you're going through as a sign that even if you don't have confidence in yourself, God has confidence in you. Maybe you have looked at yourself in the wrong way, and God says, I've allowed you to go through what you're going through, because if you don't believe in yourself, let me tell you, I believe in you. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The devil's lying to some of you and saying you're nothing because of what you're going through. How about you turn the tables and say, devil, I must be something, because if God has confidence in me, oh, you don't know who God is. God is the creator of the universe, and God with all power says they have the power and strength and the faith to go through what they're going through. I think somebody right now should be able to clap their hands for what you're going through, because when you're clapping your hands with that understanding, you're saying, I might not like it, but God has confidence in me. I might not want to go through it, but God has confidence in me. Are you thankful that God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, says it's alright, you can go through your pain, I got confidence in you. You can go through your struggle and your headache, I got confidence in you. Is there anybody excited about the confidence of God? He wants to try to do this. He's saying, I want to try to give confidence in you and establish that there is a way to transfer my confidence to give you confidence, because you don't have confidence. So if I take you through something that lets you know I have confidence in you, and I want to transfer that confidence in you, that you can see that you have the ability to endure and make it through difficult seasons. Amen. Have you ever came out of something and you're saying, I didn't like the storm I was in, but I made it over? I didn't like that pain. I didn't like that lying. I didn't like that cheating. I had that pain, but I'm still here and I made it. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm here right now magnifying God. That is a confidence booster, that you know that you know that if it had not been for God. But since God has confidence in you, you can say, I made it over. I crossed over. I almost lost my mind, but I'm here magnifying. I'm here glorifying. I almost gave up. I almost threw in the towel, but I'm here. That was not an accident. That was God needing to reveal to you how strong you are with him. You've been beat down by so much. You've been beat down by the world, and it caused you to think that you could not make it with the joy of the Lord. So God says, I'm going to allow you to go through your storm, and I'm going to show you how I am going to work in the middle of your storm, and you're going to want to praise me like never before. Hallelujah! Number two, God can get glory out of your situation. There are some of us that don't even realize that God is about to use you and your testimony for his glory. Don't you dare allow your difficult places to be a place where you think God is not in control of it. He is in absolute control of it. And he's preparing something. And after his plan unfolds, you are going to be the beneficiary. When someone dies, there are beneficiaries that still receive something in the middle of a tragedy. Are you hearing me right now? We are joint heirs with Christ, and we are going to inherit some things, and some things might have to die. Some things might have to be difficult. Some things might be painful, but it's worth it all, because God has called us to be beneficiaries to say whatever might go that you go through will not be in vain. But there is some perk, so to speak, that I am going to unfold. Is there anybody ready for your inheritance in God? Is there anybody that says that, yes, God, I might not understand it, but I want you to reveal yourself in things that I don't understand? Because the majority of things we face, we're frustrated because we don't understand. Let me tell you, you don't have to understand nothing but one thing, that God is in control. And so long as you understand that, everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Can I encourage somebody today that's going through a trial? Everything is going to be all right, because you are going to receive an inheritance from your God. Because it says in verse 9, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I want the works of God to be made manifest in my life. Let me tell you something right now. Life is going to happen to you no matter what. People are going to fall around you no matter what. Life is hard no matter how you look at it. And so if I'm going to go through hardship anyway, why don't I simply allow God to work in the middle of my life? Why don't, if life is going to happen no matter what, how about God allows himself to perfectly and freely do his will? That's how we say, not my will, but thine be done. I'm going through pain. I'm going through hardship. But Lord, if you're in it, and if you're working in it, then I'm going to be all right. Just don't let me be by myself. Am I talking to anybody? If I'm going to go through a test and trial, then I cannot walk alone. I'm preaching to somebody right now that's struggling. It's all right to struggle, but say, God, hold my hand. Don't let me struggle by myself. Let the works of God be manifest in my life. Someone raise your hand and say, God, let your works manifest itself. God cannot help himself. He is a God of revelation. He said, this is what I'm compelled to do. I must. Not I get to. Not I want to. Not I have the option. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I'm going to be shining a light. As long as I am in the world, I am going to be given revelation and be giving revelation to my people. Light is a revealer. I am going to show you something about light. I told you earlier this year that God is going to be giving the people of God clarity, because light is a power source, and you are going to have power. Light transcends darkness, and you are going to understand that you are going to see things in a new light that you never saw them before. Because in the past, the way you saw things led you to do negative things to yourself and to others. Can I get a witness? When you get stressed out, you go back to things that stress you out a bit more. And you seem to regret what you thought would be a temporary release. But it never becomes so. And God says this year is going to be different. I am going to shed my light on you like never before. And I'm going to give you clarity like never before. Because light can transport energy from one location to another. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but I don't want that light to stay with me. I want to give you some help and some direction as well. Are you glad that God is not holding it to himself? But there's some people that says, God, I'm in darkness. Shine the light on me. I got a word for you. He can't help himself. He must give you revelation. If you would seek after the light, he says, I am the light of the world. And that gives me hope today. No matter what you're going through, God is going to help you get through what you're going through, so long as you say, Jesus, shine the light on me. That's what we kept the name of the church, Lighthouse. We said that no matter how dark the night might be, God will shine the light of the world. The first thing he said, praise God, verbally, was let there be light. If you're going through darkness right now, if you're going through confusion right now, if you're going, I want somebody to preach with me, you're going through hard times and you don't know which way to go, I give you a man called Jesus that says, I am in the world and I am the light of the world. Light is a noun. It is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things invisible. I don't see how yet, but the light is coming. I don't see why yet, but the light is coming. I don't see the whole picture yet, but if I keep my eyes on Jesus, he says he can't help himself but to reveal when the timing needs to be revealed. I know I was blind from birth, and so right now might not be the time, but don't you worry. The time is coming, and revelation's coming. If you want revelation for you, raise your hand and say, God, give me revelation. He said, first thing he said, let there be light. And he saw the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. It's a principle that God will have a time where he will separate light from darkness. God has the ability to reveal himself out of dark situations. I'm sick and tired of dark situations causing me to go backwards from what I see in the word. Dark and hard times are supposed to me to go forward. In the middle of darkness comes light. The Hebrew boys receive revelations in the fire. Are you going through a fire today? Are you going through some troubles today? Do you have some misunderstandings of what life is about going on right now? Get ready. God is about to show up and reveal himself in the middle of your fire. Do you got a thing you can't conquer by yourself, even in doing the right thing? Can I tell you, God is about to shine the light to where somebody else is going to notice. Wasn't there three thrown in? But I see one who's like the Son of God. I'm talking about revelation this morning. We're going to go a little bit deeper, but I hope you stay with me. I'm talking about a God that says, I'm not going to leave you in the fire. I'm going to be right there holding your hand. Hey, somebody. He said, the night is coming. I need you to look for Jesus in your condition. Look for Jesus in your fire. Look for Jesus in your trial. Because I'm here to do some separating. But here is the key. When God works, it might not be how we want him to work. Don't miss it. Don't miss this. Because God could be working right now. And you don't recognize his method. So you're frustrated right now. But don't be frustrated. He might be working right now. Are you hearing what I'm talking to you about? Devin, come on up here. The Bible says, now close your eyes because you're an actor. You can do it. Close your eyes. Feel your way over here to me. Follow the sound of my sultry voice. All right. Here he is blind. And here he has heard that blind Bartimaeus got a healing. But in the middle of his blindness, there are people with negativity around his situation. But Jesus did something pretty nasty. Now, I used to do this, so I'm not knocking nobody, but when I see somebody spit, that's nasty. Don't let me catch you spitting on the grounds of the church. I never seen anybody. I'm just kind of talking. But are you nervous, Devin? Jesus. Spit on his eye. What you doing? You made clay out of saliva. How come you didn't do what you did to Bartimaeus? Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Instead, you put a spitball on my eyes. And then you had the audacity to say you anointed his eyes. God has placed some unorthodox anointing on you. And you haven't even realized it. Because it didn't come the way you thought it should come. And it's coming through a nasty situation. It's coming through a painful thing. And God's calling it anointed. But we're calling it gross. Let me tell you what makes it anointed. Is that God's hand was on it. So long as you know God's hand is on what you're going through. It might stink. It might be nasty. It might be detestable. But if God's hand is in it, then it's anointed. I'm going to tell somebody right now, you are being anointed in the middle of what you're going through. The word anointed means consecrated, separated. I'm doing something I didn't do in somebody else because I'm taking you somewhere in Revelation that they can't go. And so don't be offended by my nasty trial I'm bringing you through. Don't you be offended about the heartache you're in. I'm anointing you. Okay. I'm anointed. So why are you telling me to go somewhere else and wash? There are some people that you feel God has anointed you, chosen you, and separated you. But unless you obey and go wash, you're going to remain blind. If he would have said like some people do, I'm anointed. I don't have to do that. You're going to stay in your blindness. Some of you are going to say, I'm anointed, called, and chosen. I don't have to do this or that. You're going to remain blind. You're not going to get your full healing until you walk in obedience. There are too many anointed people who refuse to go, refuse to do their part, refuse to simply obey. Your new level that you want is after you step out. God can anoint your eyes all he wants to, and God can touch you every week all that he wants to, but unless you leave the four walls of this building and walk even in the darkness, oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Sometimes you're anointed and the light is still not there. Sometimes you go to the altar and the problems are still there, but God might be saying, get up from the altar and the anointing and keep on walking when things are dark around. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I'm trying to give you revelation. There are sometimes God shows up and puts his hands upon you in a service, and then you leave after a couple of days frustrated because you're still in the dark. God is going to tell somebody, keep on walking in the darkness. Keep on walking. I'm still going to show up as you walk in your obedience. God cannot lie. Now, we're assuming, we're jumping ahead, that he opens his eyes because he washed and his eyes are open. But this is what's going to happen to you. You get delivered. You get healed. You overcome. And you come back. And we see how people want to see you after. And they say, go to verse 8. They which before had seen him, they seen him when he was messed up. They seen him when he was in his failure, in his darkness. And they said, and they identified him, is not this he, the one that sat and begged? And they're going to try to keep on identifying you with the past you. His eyes are open now. Why are you labeling him according to what he did last year? Why are you labeling him according to what he was before God got a hold of him? People might come to God and have a mess, but when Jesus comes and touches them, I cannot identify them with what they were in their past. That's why when you come out of that water in the name of Jesus, you are a new creature in him. And after you came out, and right now you're walking with God. And if you sin, guess what? You can get back up and know the blood of Jesus still has miraculous power. Don't call me the one what I was before. Call me blood bought. Call me washed. Call me redeemed. Oh, come on, somebody. Call me somebody who's been covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed and touched by the love and the power of God. Is not this he who had a past? Is this not he who never could get things together? Is this not he who always had an excuse? Is this not he who was always filled with doubt? Is it not he who was filled with pride, filled with lust, filled with frustration? Is this not he who was filled with heaviness? Is this not he who had unquestionable or unanswerable questions, filled with real life issues that he did not know how to handle, filled with weaknesses he didn't know how to win over, filled with mental anguish, suicidal thoughts? Am I talking to anybody here in this house? Is this not he who wanted to give up because the pressure was just overwhelming? Is this not he? Let me tell you the response of somebody who knows that something got a hold of them. And the man stood up. Yes, I am he, but that's not me now. That was me. Things are different, right? Oh, come on, somebody. Things are different right now. Yes, that was me and how you identified with me, but I can see now. What I was because of blindness. What I was because of the darkness that was fed in my spirit from the day I was born. What was there was that way because of the sin that I came and was conceived into. I had dark surroundings around me. I didn't know I was in that state.
street. I couldn't see the light. I'm talking to somebody. You have a past because of your darkness. You have a past because of your simple environment. But let me tell you what he said. What I can tell you is what I can see. There was a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus changed me. A man called Jesus delivered me. A man called Jesus gave me hope. A man called Jesus did what no one else could do. A man called Jesus saw where I was. And a man called Jesus didn't look at me in spite of my past. A man called Jesus didn't give up on me. A man called Jesus took some time with me. A man called Jesus, thank you, Devin, saw what I could be. A man called Jesus did it. Now I'm going to speed along here as I wrap it up. The Pharisees showed up. And there are always going to be those try to find a bad thing in a good thing. Those that if it isn't done their way, they don't approve of it. So they are questioning everyone. They are actually accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And the one who was blind, the Bible says, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know. Is there anybody with a one thing I know mindset? I was blind, but now I see. I don't know everything, but what I do know since Jesus came in my life. I don't know everything, but when Jesus touched me, I know I'm not the same anymore. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't know everything about his past or his life. I don't know everything about what you're asking me. But what I do know is I'm not in darkness anymore. What I do know, I'm not tired anymore. I'm not frustrated anymore. I have a hope now on the inside of me. I got a future I can look towards. I know which way I'm going now. I know I'm going forward now. I can't answer all your questions, but I'm headed towards glory now. Stand on your feet this morning. When they first encountered the man who was blind, Jesus was not physically there at that moment with him. So when Jesus heard, verse 35, that they had cast him out because people, young people, when you make a decision to go towards God, people are going to want to put you away because they're used to you being beneath them. And when you start to rise, they don't like it. I tell somebody to rise anyway. I tell somebody succeed anyway. I tell somebody fight anyhow. Keep on being all that God called you to be. Don't you lower yourself because somebody else's insecurities. Say, I choose to be all that God's called me to be. Let your light shine. Let your boldness come out. Let your dreams go forth. Be all that you can be in the kingdom of God. And don't let anybody limit you to your past. So when Jesus heard they cast him out, this is amazing to me. Jesus is busy. Jesus has other things he can be doing. But Jesus heard of the hurt of somebody who just got delivered. Sometimes there's pain after your deliverance. But Jesus, look what it says. And when he had found him, you don't find somebody without diligently looking for them. Jesus stopped everything that he was doing in order to find one who was hurt after their deliverance. Some of you have been delivered, but you're hurting. Jesus is looking for you right now. Jesus is moving through the aisles right now and say, I know you've come a long way, but you still got some pains that are coming towards you. I'm looking for you this morning. I'm not going to leave you delivered and then leave you hurting. I'm going to deliver you and heal your pain. I'm still not done revealing myself to you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Please hear me. We all have natural ailments that sometimes in church we want to cover that immediate natural thing. It was easy to see he was blind and now he can see. But there was also some inner turmoil that had to be dealt with. Oh, that's what we're going to get in the place of God. That I know some of us are shouting and dancing and worshiping, and we should. But that's the outside. On the inside, there's still hurts and pains that God is saying, that's where I'm really to come. I'm going to touch your sight, but I need to do an inner revelation inside of you that will leave you with no doubt that if some other ailment comes upon you, that I have the power to bring you all the way out. So Jesus said, I got to find him. I'm not done. There's one more thing I need to reveal to him. The blind, former blind man said this. He said, a man. Hear me. He said, a man called Jesus. That was the extent of that immediate revelation that he had at that moment, and it was good. Jesus was not content leaving him in that level of revelation. Jesus sought after him, and Jesus says, do you believe on the Son of God? That's different than a man called Jesus. Are you hearing where I'm going in revelation? Do you believe after your rejection in something deeper? Why did he ask the question now? Because you just called me a man and said my name. But let me also tell you who I am. I want you to know the man you call Jesus has just revealed himself to you in a higher level. He says, I believe, verse 37, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you. You see, I knew you at one level, and that was great. But God is about taking you to another level. Is there anybody that wants to go to another level? I don't want him just to be a good person, just a friend of mine, just someone who can touch me at moments. I want to go to a deeper level to say, he is Almighty God. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. Because if I limit him just to be a good man, then there might be some limits to what he's able to do. But when my eyes have been opened and I'm still dealing with something, I need greater than a man to meet me at the point of my need. And so now he says, I'm not just a man, but I'm God in the flesh. And when he saw this in verse 38, he says, Lord, I believe. And then the natural thing, the only natural thing that can happen when you get true revelation of who your God is, the Bible says that he worshiped him. Is there anybody here that understands that God, a man called Jesus, is more than just a man? I want to tell you, the man called Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the one to heal not only your natural ailments, but he's dealing with your spiritual ailments. He's dealing with things that man cannot do. And so all over this house right now, I wish someone would raise your hand, because we're going to a new level. Yes, if you need a physical healing, I pray with the authority of the name of Jesus, he would heal your body. But more times than not, you need more than a physical healing in the house of God. There's some people that need some
mental healing. There's some people that are going through some mental pain, mental struggles, some depression and oppression, and you need more than a man. You need a God. But I tell you, if you understand who he is, it will cause you to worship him. It will cause you to humble yourself and say, I need that. I don't need a man. A man that can mess me up. A man won't understand. But if you're the Son of God, I worship you this morning. Come on, somebody. It's time to move into a place of worship, that God can deal with some deeper issues, and that God can deal with some deeper problems, and remove some secret sins. I wish somebody would get hungry this morning. I can't preach it any harder. Jesus is looking for somebody right now. Jesus is moving through a place right now. Jesus wants to worship, be worshiped by somebody. Somebody worship him. Somebody worship him. Somebody worship him as more than just a man. Somebody worship him as more than just a cool story. Somebody worship him. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to mend your broken pieces. He wants to forgive you of your sins. But you gotta worship him. You gotta worship him. Do you know who he is? 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 Struggles. Worship him in the storm that you're facing. Worship him in questions you don't have answers for. Worship him in your strength that he wants to give to you. Worship him.